Well, during the four Sundays of Advent, we are indeed turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. You know, for quite some time, I wasn't sure what I should be working with in terms of the focus for these four Sundays. And then one day, you know, I had been praying about it, and one day I landed here in John, chapter 1, and discovered, wow, there are four symbols that are talked about, symbols, words, descriptions here in John chapter 1 that are just so precious. That's what we're going to talk about. The light, the word, the lamb, the dove. And each of these will tell us something wonderful about God having come to be among us. And I trust you'll find all of those four to be a blessing to you. But the sermon title today, The Light, God Shines in the Darkness. And the text is John chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. Some of this will overlap a bit next Sunday, but we need to read verses 1 to 13 today. In the beginning was the Word. Please notice that's capitalized. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, before we really take off and think about and talk about the light, let's make sure that we understand something very important. And that is that this reference to the light is not referring to the sun or the moon. It's not referring to a lamp or a flashlight. It's not talking about Ohio Edison or GE. The scripture I just read is referring to Jesus the Christ. The first several verses are absolutely powerful when one recognizes that John was actually referring to Jesus. And so we might read it this way. In the beginning was Jesus, the Word. And Jesus, the Word, was with God. And Jesus, the Word, was God. He, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Jesus, through him. And without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. Do you see how powerful that becomes when we recognize the capital W? And we'll talk more about that next week when we focus on the Word. But we need to recognize that Jesus existed before he came to earth in the form of a man. Not only that, Jesus existed before the world began. How do we know that? Because in the creation account itself, the scriptures declare this in Genesis 1:26, then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." So we recognize that the triune Godhead was involved in creation, creating the world as we know it. And then in the New Testament, this is spoken to again in an incredible way, reference made to Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. It's Jesus, the eternal Word, that we're actually going to be focusing on these four Sundays. And having said that, let's think then more specifically about the light, with a capital L, and the light with a small L that is all part and parcel of this. First of all, our text is telling us that the light leads to life. So we see here in verse 4, in him, that's in Christ, in the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. Now, last Sunday, I had shared about the woman who went from 5 years of opioids to new life in Christ. And this testimonial that had appeared in the newsletter from the Rescue Commission of the Mahoning Valley. She had said, I'm now beginning to understand what real life is all about. No longer am I an empty shell. Today I'm growing in the things of the Lord and I have goals for a better future for my three children and for myself. But hope didn't come easily for me. In fact, hope still comes to me one day at a time. Little by little, she said, the light came on in my life, and now that light shines brightly, and it is the light of Jesus Christ. I just thought we needed to hear that testimony again, because this woman so specifically referred to hope and so specifically referred to light and acknowledged that it's the light of Jesus Christ that was making a difference for her. Now, that's not, by the way, the first time that a woman came to the realization that Jesus is the light of the world. In John chapter 8, we read about a woman that was caught in adultery, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought this woman to Jesus, pointing out, you know, that she had been caught in the very act, and they said, well, Moses in the law commanded thus that such should be stoned, but what do you say? And so what did Jesus do? Well, he stooped down and he was writing something on the ground there with his finger. And then when they continued to ask him about it, he got up and said, well, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And then he stooped down and he wrote in the ground again with his finger. And then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out. They left one by one, from the oldest to the youngest. And when it was just Jesus and the woman, he said, woman, where are these accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And then according to verse 12, John 8, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so there you are. It doesn't matter what kind of junk has been a part of a person's background. It might have been prison time or drugs, like the woman who gave us her testimonial in the Rescue Mission newsletter. It may have been adultery like the woman in John 8 or something totally different. What matters is that a person turns to the light, turns to Jesus, and becomes a follower of his. So the question this morning, have you and I become a follower of the Christ of Christmas? If not, please know that this time of year involves much more than presents and parties and decorations and certain kinds of music. But it involves reflecting on and thinking about the grace of God that has been extended to us in the coming of Jesus into the world, through the coming of Jesus. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was John 3:16 and 17. What I wanted us to see there is that light and life go hand in hand. And the Lord reveals things to us. He enlightens us. Not that we would be, you know, ready for a Bible question on Jeopardy. Not that we might have more information, but rather that we might experience the transforming work as we enter the very life of Christ. According to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Light and life. Well, let's move on to a second thing that our text is telling us, and that is simply that the light shines in the darkness. The light shines in the darkness. And this picks up here with verse 5. "The light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not comprehend it." Now, the MSG puts it, "The life light blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out." Hallelujah, right? The light shines and the darkness can't put it out. People have tried to put it out for years. The communists tried to put it out. It can't be put out. The December issue of the Voice of the Martyrs came to the church just this past week, just as I was pondering this very point. And one of the articles had to do with a fellow from Iraq who was imprisoned by ISIS because of his Christian heritage. But it was only after this guy actually escaped from captivity that he truly came to know the Lord. See, after 26 days in captivity and losing his farm that was valued at more than $1 million, Hanny couldn't imagine anything worse happening. So here he is, he, his pregnant wife, his parents, and all of his extended family fleeing for another community. And he wondered where God was. He was emotionally drained. You can imagine. He had attended the Chaldean church with his family, but felt so betrayed by God that he decided that he was done with the church. And then one day, while driving around town with his uncle, he noticed a sign on the front of one of the few evangelical churches in the area. Now, you have to realize that this man had always despised evangelicals. But he decided to walk into the church and challenge them to prove that they were not really Christians. Once inside, he said everybody welcomed him with a smile, and the pastor seemed genuine, and the sermon touched him, and he went back and he discovered something interesting. It struck him that the church taught from the Bible rather than merely emphasizing Christian traditions. And from that time on, he didn't miss a Sunday. Hanny learned to pray. He gained a new understanding of Scripture. He also sensed a new peace inside, and he began to understand something about what his purpose was in life. After Hanny's wife saw her husband transform from an angry, hard man into a peace-loving follower of Jesus, she too placed her faith in Christ. Now, guess what Hanny wants to do these days? He says he wants to spread the love of Christ throughout Iraq. He said, "We want the light of Jesus to stay in Iraq." Praise God for the light shining in the darkness. The darkness can't put it out. That fellow undoubtedly came to understand something of what the Apostle Paul was wanting the believers at Corinth to recognize. And I just want you to notice this morning what Paul was saying about the light. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 6. "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we did not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I think I've got to re-quote that last verse. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So how does a person come to know God? How does a person come to understand the gospel? How does a person obtain genuine hope in the midst of an uncertain world? Well, it happens when the light shines upon us, when the light shines in our hearts, in our minds, and those hearts of those who are still seeking. It happens as Jesus the Christ himself is revealed. John, by the way, knew exactly where to direct persons that were yet seeking. So notice what he said here in verses 6 to 8. He said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now, what do you think, brothers and sisters? Is that not what we are called to as well? We're called to bear witness unto Jesus, pointing out that he is the true light that gives light, and pointing out that there is life for those who truly believe on Jesus. As John put it in verse 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Well, the light shines in the darkness. We become children of light as we believe in his name. Now, a third thing I want us to think about this morning, it may be not as explicitly stated in our text, but nevertheless it flows out of it as we think of the matter of becoming children of light. And this is what I'm wanting to emphasize. We're to walk as children of light. Isn't it true that most parents want their children to grow up with the kind of values and practices that they came to adopt? And so we as parents teach our children to, you know, to be respectful, to say please and thank you, and brush their teeth, and take part in the family chore, take out the trash, you know. Be truthful, eat your veggies, share, you know, all of these kind of things. Now, the Bible calls those of us that have come into the family of God to live in a manner that is consistent with our Heavenly Father. We're called to adopt the values of our Heavenly Father. We're to reflect the character of Jesus. As we are in him and his life is lived out in us, there ought to be that character of Christ. Or as the Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians chapter 5, he talked about walking in the light. And I'd like you to notice what he was saying to the believers there at Ephesus. And it's recorded for us for our benefit and our instruction as well. So we're in Ephesians 5 now, verses 8 to 17. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, one of the things that has come to light in recent times, it seems like every time we listen to the news or open the newspaper, there's yet another article. It has to do with the exploitation of women and children by politicians, military personnel, actors, media people, corporate executives, and I'm sad to say, churchmen. And we need to say categorically that this kind of exploitation and abuse does not reflect the nature of Christ, and thus does need to be reproved. Reproved is another word for exposed. The light reproves these kind of things. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, verse 11. But what then does it mean to walk as children of light? For one thing, it means that we discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 10 says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 17 says, understand what the will of the Lord is. So the question then is not just what is culturally acceptable or what is acceptable to those that we may hobnob with or what is legal, but what does the Lord want? For another thing, it means that we are spiritually alive. Last Monday afternoon, I was reclined. I was working on the crossword puzzle, and I drifted off into La La Land. Never mind the fact that I had the phone right beside me, and it did ring, but I was in such a fog that I never got Diane's call answered before she was off and gone. So, verse 14 says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead and answer the phone. No, it doesn't say answer the phone, but awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. It's talking about being alert, not being in a big fog, you know, so that we're not functioning, but to be alert, alive in the Lord, alert to what God is doing and how he is leading. And as the psalmist put it, he said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So yes, here we are. Christmas is not about the tinsel, the bows, the wreaths, as much as we enjoy these kind of things. It's not about the wrapping paper, what's on the outside. It's about God. It's about the Lord shining in the darkness. It's about Jesus coming as the true light. Light in the darkness. Light of the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for what you have done for us in Christ. Where would we be had not you loved us so much that you made a way for our redemption? Had you not loved us so much that you send the light to give us understanding that we might even respond to your love, your grace? Lord, please continue to enlighten us. Please continue to direct our paths. Please continue to be the church offering healing and hope to those in the world around us, pointing to Jesus. Shine. Continue to shine, O Lord, through your Spirit, through your word. Accomplish what is needful And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.
One of the lines in Hope of the Nation. So please stand.
And we're not going to have as much instrumentation as you're used to, but let's sing together of the Hope of the Nations, who is the light in the darkness.